Good morning. It's 6:06 a.m. on Friday, August 21st, 2015. I think I got that right. So last night I finished. I wrote the last line. I think it's the last line. I'm gonna have to go through and see if it's actually a story that I wanted. I know it's not the story that I expected, but it might be the story that I needed. And I'm going to go with it. I'm going to trust the process. This is not what I thought we were going to be doing here. It's close. I mean, this book is part of what I thought we were going to be doing, but this is not what I thought we were going to be doing. This isn't where I expected it to end. But it's sort of the culmination of two storylines, of two books in the past. It's a resolution for Ishmael for the Chernyakhova, and it's a resolution, a healing from owner's share. The two things he thought he would never do again, he finds himself doing. Well, two of the three things he thought he'd never do again. We'll see about the third one. And it's an awful navel-gazery kind of story. It in that aspect, it goes, it really does harken back to Quarter Share, which was rather navel-gazery, and somewhat shorter. So yesterday I counted 5,000 words. It was, in final count, 4,600 and change. I'm counting it as 5,000 because I did a lot of backing and filling and backing and filling as I was tracking in on the ending. I'm counting it as 5,000. It's close enough for hand grenades. So 17 days in a row, 5,000 words, 85,000 total in just a little over 2 weeks. Not my normal pace, but I'm not going to quibble. I still feel, even still this morning, I feel wrung out. I feel drained. I don't have a sense of woohoo, I finished kind of elation. It's sort of, all right, that step's done. Let's move on. Not today. Today is not a work day. I've had 17 work days in a row. Today is not a work day. Today is a play day. And I don't know. I'm probably going to spend some time on EVE Online. I may go back to my modded Minecraft and see if I want to play it anymore. I started a Magic Farm 3 Harvest game after going through the new Agrarian Skies 2 and getting most of the stuff done. A lot of it is like not stuff I really wanted to do, and some of the stuff that I wanted to do I couldn't because there's no land to do it on. There's really no exploration except in the Nether. So it was like, not sure. The Magic Harvest 3 is heavily modded. It's kind of fun. I got the farm set up. I got things going at the stage where, now what? And honestly, I don't. I planned on a building project. I planned on doing something cool with building. No, it didn't really go there. So, I don't know. I suspect I'll play EVE Online today. I'll spend some time with Pip. Or perhaps some of the other characters. We've got a project going on. And one of my off alliances that I might work on. But yeah, I'm tired. It doesn't seem like it should have been that much work, but of course it is, and it was. I'm drained. I'm still reading Social Media's Bullshit, and I think the problem with it is that, the problem I'm having with it is that, other than the particularly inflammatory rhetoric that the author uses, I think it's a guy named Mendelsohn. There's a lot of you know, leading questions. There's a lot of what I would call amateur nonfiction writing. Clearly, he has no. Well, I don't know. I say that. It doesn't look like. I'm not going to say clearly, but from my seat, it doesn't look like he really has a lot of experience writing nonfiction, other than perhaps clickbaity blog posts or something. But yeah, there's the problem is that there's a lot of the stuff that he's writing that I agree with, that I think is actually true, that he supports, and I keep waiting for him to get to the part where any of what he's talking about matters when it comes to social media. So far he's spent, I don't know, about halfway through the book, and he spent pretty much all of it saying, okay, none of you are Twitter, none of you are Time Warner, none of you can be Time Warner. We aren't going to be Kia, we're not going to be we're not going to be Google. I'm not going to play in the NBA either. I don't. if that's the criteria for success in social media, you become the next Time Warner Publications. Well, yeah, okay. I'm not going to play in the NBA. I'm never going to get. I'm not going to get a PGA jacket. It's. I'm hoping that he's going to get into the long tail. I hope he's going to get into what social media really is, rather than what it really isn't. He does make some good points that the term social media is the new buzzword that replaced Web 2.0. And that the social aspects of the internet have been around for a very long time. Yeah, they have, but there's a qualitative difference that he completely shuffles off as irrelevant. There's a qualitative difference between what Dave Weiner did in the I'm going to say in the late 90s, and what Movable Type did in the early aughties, what Blogger did, I agree, social media goes back to the BBSs of pre-web days, but that you have to look at it from the aspect of critical mass. Is that there were a few, maybe tens of thousands of people in the U.S. who had the wherewithal and the interest to explore BBSs. There were, in 1998, when I got my master's degree, there were, maybe we had gone over 10 million people on the internet, because I'm trying to think when. Well, Mosaic was before that, because we had Mosaic around, 92? Mosaic was the first web browser. Before that was Gopher and Jughead and a couple of the utilities that were basically data access tools. And the early websites were all data dumps. They were all information. There was some, you know, dancing bunnies and the bikini clad dancing girls, and what was classified at the time as dancing bullshit. It was dancing bullshit. Yeah, I guess it was dancing bullshit. Anyway, I mean, the roots of this stuff have been around for a long time. Social media is not a disruptive innovation. It's not. And I don't know that anybody, well, yeah, I suppose somebody has. But technically, it's not a disruptive innovation the way Amazon's disruption of the distribution channel is. So, yeah, from that aspect, sure, okay, fine, social media is a... But there is a value in that label. It is media, which is good. It lets people understand that it's not just one kind of media like YouTube or Twitter. Monk post. But a collection of media. And it's social media. That social part is important. It underscores the conversational nature of these channels. And he calls them platforms. It's like, okay, well, you say tomato, I say potato. Sure, yeah, okay, call them platforms. It's not my understanding of what a platform is, but clearly he's using it in a way that means channel. This is a channel. Twitter is a channel. Tumblr is a channel. He lumps Google in as a search engine as social, so that's search. And well, there's a certain aspect of Google, the search, when you put in a keyword, when you put in a search term at the top, it suggests things that other people have done, and that, from that aspect, it's a little bit social, but you can't talk to other people who are using Google. You can do it on Google Plus, but you can't do it when you're searching. Google is not a social media, because there's no opportunity for conversation. Blogs are social media. Podcasts are social media. Twitter is social media. The difference between Twitter and my blog is who owns it. Twitter is a walled garden. You have to have a login to get to Twitter. I do have to have a login to get to the admin portion of my blog. But there is a public side wherein we have conversations, you and I. Some of them are slow, and some of them are limited. Some of them don't go very far. But we have conversations. It is a social environment. Just the same way Facebook is, just the same way Twitter is, just the same way YouTube is. But to argue that all of social media is bullshit because I'm never going to be Time Warner, which is basically his take on it, is like, well, they have a vested interest in selling you on the value of social media because they're going to make money off it. Okay. You know, I don't have any problem with that. In fact, I'm kind of pleased that they do make money off it, because as long as they do, the service is going to stay available. It's sort of like Podiobooks. Podiobooks is a service, and I am happy to give them 25% of all donations in return for the continued ability to publish my works on Podiobooks. In spite of the fact they haven't put a new book up in years, having that service available for me to use when I need it again, which I hope is not going to be more years, having that service available is important. It's important enough for me to hand over a portion of the proceeds from donations to them in order to make that happen. It's the same way with Facebook. And now, frankly, the group on Facebook that has just started, the Golden Age of the Solar Clipper Facebook group, is it's relatively recent. I have not actually interacted with fans on Facebook. My main connection with Facebook is through closed groups like the Solar Clipper group. And as such, as a meeting place for small groups of people, I like it a lot. I like it a lot. And I've used it for years. I've been in closed groups. I'm now in several more closed groups. I'm in a couple of relatively public open groups. I'm in a couple of secret groups. But, you know, it's like Facebook is pushing ads. Yeah, okay, fine. They're not ads that I pay any attention to, or in some cases even see. So, yeah, go ahead, push ads. I see ads every once in a while, so sponsored stuff in Twitter because of the TweetDeck. But it's like, nah, okay, fine. It's easy to go over them. And I like Twitter. I find Twitter useful. I find Twitter helpful. I find Twitter interesting and sometimes amusing, sometimes frustrating, but it's sort of like sitting on the bank of the river, a metaphor I've used a lot, and watching the people float by and seeing who's there, trading jabs to people who are on their way through, and then getting up and walking away. It's not an information source, it's a social source, it's a floating cocktail party. But to argue that Twitter is bullshit because you can't put up an ad and have people buy your product because of that misses the point of Twitter and misses the value of Twitter in terms of building awareness, in terms of forming relationships, in terms of creating an audience, in terms of nurturing that audience, in terms of growing that audience. There's no other way for me to reach, I don't know how many people I'm reaching now, 2,500 maybe. I call it 1,000. There's no way for me to reach 1,000 people around the world for free in a couple of instants other than Twitter. I can do that. Well, I take that back. I can email. And I've got... Oh, Jesus, I've got to do something about the email list again. So I could, you know, I can email people. Yeah, fine. In a certain sense, email is a social media as well. It's not a public social media. It's not a public space. It's not a town square. It's not a public commons. But my frustration with this book is that it's painting all of mainstream social media as all there is in social media. The top 10 most popular, largest traffic subscribers on YouTube. I don't get the point. What is your point? Because those aren't, I wouldn't mind having a YouTube video that, you know, was seen a few hundred million times. But the reality is, I don't need a YouTube video to see in 100 million times. I don't even know what that would look like. What I would do there. You know, the million follower fallacy is in full force. The idea that on Twitter, what matters is retweets and likes, because that's what amplifies your system, your signal. It's like, no. Morning. That's not how it goes. It's not. They use the term engagement, and they use the term influencers. Influencers is an old marketing term. It's what we call thought leaders. And the idea, if you could get your message to the thought leader, then the thought leader would spread it and it would be adopted by people who look to the thought leader, people like Chris Brogan or C.C. Chapman or those people who have some cachet with their audience. The problem, of course, is that science fiction is not where those guys have cachet. It's not where they have influence. It's where they can meet the same number of people, but they don't have... The people who are listening to Chris Brogan and C.C. Chapman are not interested in science fiction. They're interested in marketing. That's why they listen to them, because these guys have some really interesting ideas about marketing, particularly social media marketing. So the idea of this book appears to be, you're not going to be Time Warner, so this is all bullshit. I don't think so. I'm not done with the book yet, so I'm not ready to kiss it off entirely, but there's an awful lot of bombast and not an awful lot of sense. At any rate, I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then. Mm-hmm.